It's official. Major League Baseball's trade deadline has officially passed. And it was a rather surprising deadline, especially for Yankee fans. We'll break down the major trades that did happen around the game, and we'll also talk about the Yankees' relatively quietness as the trade deadline passed. That and more on this episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now.
Do you love Yankee baseball? If so, this is the show for you. Welcome to Pinstripe Talk with your host, Nick Delahanty.
Welcome to a special edition of the Pinstripe Talk podcast. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. On our regular show this week, I promised you that we were going to do a trade deadline special show in anticipation of thinking that the Yankees were going to make some relatively big moves to help bolster their roster. However, that didn't pan out the way we thought. We'll talk about the Yankees' stance on the trade deadline, what their roster looks like moving forward, especially with the playoff race approaching us, and also we'll break down some of the big trades that kind of dictated the trade market throughout Major League Baseball. As always, you could join in on our conversation by finding us on Twitter at PinstripeTalkND. You can also hit up my personal account at Nick_Delahanty. Search us up on Facebook. Give us a like by searching Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Our podcast available to you on all podcast platforms. Find us on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on there. You could also find us on Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio. You name it, our show's available there for you. We love talking Yankees baseball. We hope that you join in on the conversation. So let's get started with the Yankees. And the Yankees, before the 4 o'clock deadline, made one move. And this one move was basically a move to help clear up some roster space. The Yankees acquired left-handed pitcher Alfredo Garcia from the Colorado Rockies in exchange for Joe Harvey. We all remember Harvey made his Major League debut earlier in the year. A 27-year-old, the Yankees drafted him in the 19th round of the 2014 draft. Was 1-0 with a 4.50 ERA and 9 appearances with a big league club this year. Made 22 appearances for AAA Scranton this season, going 0-1 with 9 saves. A guy that the Yankees just trying to clear up some roster space, a minor move, as said by Cashman. Nothing really crazy, but this was the only move that the Yankees made before the trade deadline passed. And I have to be completely honest. Social media gives you a headache this time of year. From the rumors to the quote-unquote insiders that know everything, to the people who want to be trolls and kind of freak out fan bases by telling them that certain things are going to go down. It's very chaotic. And even these insiders, you'll see a lot of reports saying this team is interested in this player or this team is interested in this player. And it seems like the Yankees name gets thrown in there a lot, and that causes more chaos in Yankee Nation because fans now think, oh, they're showing interest. The Yankees are going to get X or Y or this player or that player. It just becomes chaotic and hectic. And even though it's interest or these big insiders have their inside scoop, a lot of people jump the gun and think that a deal is going to get done. But that's not how this time of year works. And what you're going to see throughout this show, as we break down some of the bigger deals that did occur, the asking price was pretty high on the majority of those deals because a lot of teams that are in the market are looking for starting pitching help. And there's not that much starting pitching available on the market. So the teams that do have it are being wise and are trying to get the most out of their value. They're trying to get back pieces that they think they could build on in the future. So you can't really blame them for playing that high price game, but it also does stall the market a little bit. It does hamper what teams are trying to do. And let's start off right away with the one trade that really started all the chaos. And that was Marcus Stroman. Marcus Stroman, a guy who has been connected to every playoff team that you can imagine. Houston, the Yankees, possibly the Red Sox, Twins, Brewers, anybody who needed starting pitching help. Marcus Stroman's name came up in those trade talks. It comes down that Stroman was traded on Sunday before the deadline. And he's going to New York, and a lot of people think, logically, he's going to the Yankees. No. Hold your horses there. The Mets jump in. The Mets, the New York Mets, who are 11 and a half games out of the division, who are five games out now in the wild card, make a move to get Marcus Stroman. And what do they give up? They give up two pitching prospects. Anthony Kay, the fourth rated prospect in the Mets system, according to MLB Pipeline. And Simeon Woods Richardson, the sixth rated prospect. Neither prospect in the top 100 in the game. Kay is more of a left-handed pitcher. They say he's more of a third or fourth starter once he hits the big leagues. Woods Richardson is a guy who has a plus fastball, but really hasn't settled in with much else. Probably a middle reliever to a late reliever when he does ultimately make it to the show, if he does make it to the show. The Mets got a good deal here. A lot of people didn't understand this move at the time because Zach Wheeler, who is an impending free agent, he'll be a free agent after the year, and Noah Syndergaard, who the team has club control on until 2022, were both two of the top names on the trade market. So people are sitting back and they're saying, why are the Mets trading for a year and a half of Stroman when they're trying to, I don't even want to say get rid of, but trade a Noah Syndergaard who they have club control over? And at the time, it didn't make sense. At the time, it really didn't add up. But as the trade deadline has come and gone, it now makes sense. Not only do the Mets think that they have a chance to get back in it this year, but they're looking toward 2020 as well. Yeah, they probably don't re-sign Wheeler. Wheeler probably leaves at the end of the year. But nobody was willing to meet that price tag that they had on their right-handed arm. They were looking for some major league type talent in return for a quality starter. They knew that if they could pull the trigger, they were going to get somebody who could possibly help their big league club as soon as possible. So the Mets stand pat, and now they have a solid rotation that could possibly get them back into the thick of things. Yeah, you're five out in the wild card. But let's look ahead. The Mets have one of the easiest schedules in the second half of the year. They have some part of their schedule where they could take advantage of it. You mean to tell me that a rotation of DeGrom, Syndergaard, Stroman, Mats, and Wheeler doesn't entice you? I'm sure for the Mets front office and their organization, when they saw the price tag on Stroman that they could get him for, they were all for it. And I think that the Blue Jays took a little less than they could have got. You have to recall, all the reports had the Blue Jays asking the Yankees for Davey Garcia, and you'll see that as a common trend. A lot of teams covet the 20-year-old. But it just made sense for them to make the deal. And Toronto, I'm sure, didn't want to trade Stroman to the Yankees. And the price tag, if they would have got the price tag that they wanted, they probably would have done the deal. Same with Houston. But I think that a lot of teams view Stroman as more of a number three or a number four starter instead of a top line guy. And that was an issue. And I think that's why the Yankees kind of balked at trying to trade for Stroman. They were looking for a top of the line starter. And Stroman's the guy that I wanted, as if you listen to our other shows, I absolutely love Marcus Stroman. I will defend the guy. I think he's a great pitcher. I think that he brings a lot to the clubhouse, the way he is on the field. A lot of people don't like the antics, but I love how fired up he gets. I love the passion. I love how he supports his city. You could tell the city of Toronto definitely rubbed off on him, and it's something that will always stay with him. He returns home to New York. I think he's going to be a great fit there if the Mets infield could catch a ground ball, one of the worst defensive ground ball teams in the league. If they can help him out, I think he's going to do wonders there in his year and a half and then hit the market and decide where he wants to go. Maybe he'll even decide to stay with the Mets. But you have to give credit to the Mets for giving themselves a chance. You know, I'm sure that if everything worked out the way they hoped it would, they would have traded Wheeler, possibly would have traded Syndergaard to get some extra assets. But for the time being, that's a nice rotation to build around. And you do have some core pieces in Pete Alonso and Jeff McNeil that you could look toward the future and kind of be happy with what you got. The next big trade that went down happened on Tuesday night. And that included Trevor Bauer, a guy who A lot of people thought hurt his trade value by his last start, which also happened on Sunday. It was kind of funny because as the Stroman news came about, the Trevor Bauer incident in Kansas City took effect. Bauer was not happy with himself, struggled in his last start as an Indian, and as Terry Francona came out to the mound to take him out, Bauer fires a rocket over the center field fence. Just very unsportsmanlike, very crazy, just surreal. But it's something that I'm sure Bauer isn't proud of. But somebody who follows the game, you understand his competitiveness and his frustration. Did he handle it correctly? Absolutely not. But the fire and the passion came out in that moment, and it got the better of him. And he did apologize after. I think bygones were bygones there. And I just think that the Indians were looking for a fresh start. And let's remember, they have Corey Kluber coming back. Salazar is on his way back. You're looking at this rotation. You have some of the young guys like Plesac. They have a surplus of pitching, but they were short on offense. And that's where this trade comes into play. The Indians send Bauer to the Reds, right? He'll be probably their number two behind Luis Castillo and before Sonny Gray. Can you imagine Sonny Gray as an all-star pitcher in Cincinnati, but he could not get it done in New York? I get that some people can't handle New York, but that is definitely one thing that will haunt me in my sports life because I desperately wanted them to trade for Sonny Gray. But however, let's get back into it. So Bauer goes to the Reds. They solidify their rotation. Again, another team that's in probably fourth place in their division, looking on the outside in towards the wild card. They get another starter, and they have him under control for next year. Going to San Diego is Taylor Trammell, who goes from the Reds. 21-year-old, a guy who is regarded as a top 50 prospect in the game. Not hitting very well this year, but he's a guy with upside. I'm sure the Padres were very happy to get him. He's a guy that they could build around for many years to come. And here's where I love this deal. The Indians get Yasiel Puig, as we all know. Puig's one of those guys that he's entertaining. As bad as Bauer's incident was, as the news came in that Puig was part of this Bauer trade, he took part in a fight between the Reds and the Pirates. He was in it with his teammates. He was definitely going to get suspended, I think, because he was throwing a couple of punches in there. But he's a guy that just, he stands up for his teammates. He doesn't want to take any garbage from opposing players. He saw the fight break down and he was right in the middle of it. He's a guy that's going to help the Indians. He's a good outfielder. He's going to hit a little bit. And if they can get him going in the American League, he could definitely be a middle of the order bat for them. In that deal, they also get Franmil Reyes. He's an outfielder, a guy who is absolutely terrible, terrible defensively, one of the worst defensive outfielders in the league. However, the guy can hit. So you could put him at DH. He's a young guy. You have 5 years of control over him. I think that that's an intriguing piece for them. He's got 27 home runs in 99 games this year. So you're looking at him and you're saying to yourself, you know, we might be able to control this guy throughout his prime. And let's remember, the Indians aren't a big market team. They're not going to be able to dish out big contracts to some of their better players. You know, they weren't going to be able to sign Bauer to an extension for the price that he was going to require on the market. Francisco Lindor, when his contract's coming up, are they going to be able to pay him? But Reyes is a nice piece to put in the middle of that Indians lineup, especially for the playoff run. And then they get two other players. They get a left-hander, Scott Morris, and a 19-year-old infielder, Victor Nova. So I think the haul for the Indians was good. And I said it yesterday night on Twitter. Sometimes, and most of the time, if you're trading an ace or a front-of-the-line starter, you're not looking to get better. You're selling. But with this move, I feel like the Indians got better. They were able to bolster their roster a little bit for the playoff stretch. They're only three out of the division, and they're right in the middle of the wild card race. They're actually leading the wild card race right now. So the Indians are very much in it. If I was Minnesota, I'd be a little concerned because this team got better at the trade deadline, even though they subtracted one of the better arms that this game has to offer. Before we get into probably the most shocking starting pitching trade that went down prior to the trade deadline, we're going to take a quick break here on the Pinstripe Talk podcast. Before we go to break, we want to let you know that if you are one of the very many people out there that want to see Clint Frazier in pinstripes, Join the movement. We have released free Clint shirts on our Teespring website. Go out, buy one, support the cause. We want to see Clint in pinstripes. We hope that you help us get that accomplished. We'll be right back here on the Pinstripe Talk Podcast. We are back here on the Pinstripe Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. The trade deadline has passed, and we're breaking down some of the big moves that have impacted Major League Baseball and ultimately have impacted the New York Yankees. And this final starting pitching move that did go down was rather shocking to a lot of people. Early in the day, Yankees were scheduled to play the Diamondbacks. Yankees won the game, which was great, by the way. And Zach Greinke took the mound for the Diamondbacks. During the game, Yankees hit a rain delay. It ends up being Greinke comes out of the game later on. And it ends up being that during the game, Greinke gets traded. And Greinke's going to the Houston Astros. Now, Greinke was never coming to the New York Yankees. They are on his no trade list. He is a guy, if you don't know already, has suffered from high anxiety issues in the past. So New York is definitely not a fit for him. I'm sure that Brian Cashman did not even explore this, knowing that Greinke was hesitant to go to New York. But man, did they add another weapon to that rotation. 10-4, 2.90 ERA this year. Greinke is pitching well, and he's going to fit very nicely into that rotation. You know, you have Verlander, you have Cole, you have Greinke, you have Miley. That is not an easy task for opposing teams to match up with. You have to think right now, and I know this is a Yankee podcast, and throw the tomatoes at me all you want, but looking at it right now, you have to say that Houston's a favorite in the American League. Things could change, injuries could happen, teams could get hot, teams could get cold. But looking at this rotation right now, they solidified having arguably the best rotation in the American League. And it's going to be a very tough task for teams that are going to go into Houston and are going to have to beat them 4 games out of 7. Or, if you're playing them in the first round, 3 out of 5. It's not a very easy thing to do. And you got to give credit to the Astros for being aggressive at the deadline. They gave up 4 pieces for them, and they know that their window is closing for their chance to win a World Series, especially with their pitching. You know, Gerrit Cole's a free agent after the year. They're probably not going to be able to match the pay that he's going to get on the open market. Greinke's under control, I believe, for 2 more years after this. So you have him. You have him around, which is good for them. They could solidify the top of that rotation for a couple more years. But you have to give them credit. They also go out and they get Aaron Sanchez and Joe Biagini from the Blue Jays. Two guys that, you know, Biagini is a quality reliever. Sanchez has really struggled this year. Maybe the Astros move him to the bullpen. He's made it known that he wants to be a starter. But at the end of the day, I'm sure he's going to find a way to pitch in the postseason. He's going to do whatever the team needs him to do. So I think that you got to give the Astros credit. And they were, in my eyes, the biggest winner of the trade deadline. Because you're looking at what they were able to do and how they were able to add that big piece. And they did what the Twins couldn't, what the Yankees couldn't, what other teams looking for big-time starting pitching couldn't. And that was add that extra arm to give them extra length down the stretch. And that's huge. Greinke's going to get a chance to pitch in the postseason for the Astros. We'll see how it plays out. But you got to give Jeff Luhnow and his crew a lot of credit, because that was a move that not many people were expecting, especially as the clock hit 4 o'clock and the trade deadline appeared to be over. And then Ken Rosenthal dropped probably the biggest announcement of the day, that probably a future Hall of Famer in Greinke is going to Houston to help them for their playoff push. We talked a lot about other teams and what they did, but as you noticed, we didn't get to talk much about the Yankees. And what does this mean for the Yankees, all these different moves that we discussed? Well, for starters, let me start off by saying I was very frustrated reading all the rumors and the trades that have gone down, because I was under the impression that Brian Cashman was going to strike a deal of some sort. I thought that he was going to figure out a way to help improve this Yankee team down the stretch. And a lot of the issues that I saw and that I felt over the last couple of weeks was the struggle of the starting pitching. And we all saw how bad the Yankee starting pitching has been. You know, you look at it and you say to yourself, there has to be a way that they can improve the starting rotation. However, Cashman wasn't able to get anything done, and of course, I have full faith in Brian Cashman. Let me just tell you that. I think that he's a very smart individual. I trust him to lead this team in the right direction. And I think that in hindsight, he is going to do things that are going to help the team now, but not ultimately kill them in the future. And you saw the price of the trade market. Let's look at some of the names of guys that weren't traded, that were rumored to be on the move. You look at Matt Boyd in Detroit. They asked for Gleyber Torres. How many of you would trade Gleyber Torres for Matt Boyd? Heck, how many of you could tell me anything about Matt Boyd? I would not trade an everyday player like Gleyber, who is an all-star caliber player, for a guy like Matt Boyd. I'm sorry, I wouldn't. Then you look at Mike Minor. He's with the Texas Rangers. Had a no-trade clause to the Yankees. That's another obstacle. His price tag was high. He didn't get moved either. Robbie Ray. It was announced that the Arizona Diamondbacks were trying to get Clint Frazier, Clark Schmidt, and two other prospects from the Yankees. That's a big haul. You look at a guy like Noah Syndergaard. The Mets had a high price tag on him, and rightly so. He's under club control till 2022. Davey Garcia was just a starter in that deal. Then you look at the rumors that Bob Clavish posted, and he's saying that they could have had Stroman, who the Mets would have ended up flipping, for Davey Garcia, Esteban Florio, and more. At some point, you have to sit back and you have to say to yourself, do I really want to give up these many prospects and top guys for starting pitching? And it's a fine line. You know, there's an old saying, prospects are cool, parades are cooler, and I firmly agree with that. But the way the market was and the way that the market was dictated, I can't really be surprised that Brian Cashman didn't pull the trigger on a deal, especially for relievers and starters. You know, I'm sure that he was turning every rock. I'm sure that he was trying everything to try to make a move. But at the end of the day, I think that he felt better with standing pat and not kind of giving up the future to try to win now. And I get it. And I'm in the same boat as many people, as many Yankee fans out there. I am not very confident with the Yankee starting pitching. Their starting pitching has not given us much to be confident about. However, the Yankees are banking on the fact that they do have some guys who are on their way back. You know, Luis Severino, he's not expected back till September. But can he get healthy and help them down the stretch? Dellin Betances, same thing. Jonathan Loaisiga, who just started a minor league rehab stint. You know, you look at some of these guys and you say, you know, maybe they can help us down the stretch. Maybe they can be the answer to our problems. And yes, there are a lot of concerns. You look at Masahiro Tanaka. He has not been as effective as he has been in the past. But let's not forget who this guy is. He is still a top-of-the-line caliber starter when he's on. Who's to say that he doesn't take his next 4 to 5 starts and get back on track and dominate and help lead this team? Domingo Germán, is there going to be issues with fatigue? Are the Yankees going to shut him down due to innings limit? What's going to happen with him? Is he going to continually pitch well as he has early on in the year? You know, you look at Happ, who hasn't been good. You look at Paxton. The numbers don't dictate Paxton's real self. He's had a couple of bad starts, but for the most part, he's been relatively decent. Can he be the guy that the Yankees thought that he could be when they made the trade this offseason? CC Sabathia, what's up with his knee? What are you going to get out of CC in his final year? There are a lot of ifs surrounding this team. And a lot of people, including myself, thought, yeah, you can get rid of some of those ifs by making a move. But in the same token, do you want to give up a Davey Garcia to a team like Toronto and watch him be a Cy Young Award winner for many years to come? Or do you want to trade him to the Mets and watch him across town, helping the Mets make it to the playoffs? It's a fine line. And you have to know which guys you want to hold on to and which guys are expendable. And you have to dictate the market as well. I think Brian Cashman does a good job at doing that. The only issue is, I just think that the Yankees needed to add something to help get them over the hump. Yes, I still think that they are contenders. No, I am not writing them off. I think that their offense, when healthy, is star-studded, is talented. They have a lot of guys who could produce, a lot of guys who know their role. I think that they have the pieces offensively to get the job done. In the bullpen, if the bullpen's fresh and not overused, the Yankees have one of the best bullpens in the game. I have a lot of confidence handing the ball off to guys like Britton, Ottavino, Chapman, those guys at the end of the game. It's a matter of getting them a lead and hoping the starting pitching holds up. The starting pitching is the issue. And of course, the biggest challenge and the biggest thing that we should say to them is they got to step it up. They got to figure it out. The guys in the clubhouse think that they have a team to win it all. They have that confidence. Their confidence is sky high. It's up to the starting pitching to make the adjustments and get back on track, because that's going to dictate how the season unfolds. At the end of the year, we could definitely look back and say, you know, Cashman didn't make a move at the deal. It came back to bite him. Or it could be a blessing in disguise, and the Yankees could be holding up another World Series championship trophy, and he could make us all eat our words. Right now, it's frustrating. You know, we were all hoping to get that starter or even bullpen help to help solidify the team as we head down the stretch. We all thought it was going to happen. That was the rumor. That was all the headlines. Yankees are going to add a starter. They're going to get one of those guys, but they didn't. And now we have to move forward with what we got and what they have. And they have to just keep playing baseball, and they have to keep playing baseball the way they did earlier in the year. The starting pitching's in a funk. It's like a batter in a slump. They come all around. Unfortunately, it seems like all five guys got the slump at the same time. So hopefully they get back on track and moving forward, the Yankees still have a chance in the American League and ultimately in all of baseball. Because let's not forget, before this even happened, the Yankees are 30 games over 500. They got an 8-game lead in the division. They didn't get there just by luck. They didn't get there by pure chance. They got there because of the talent that this roster possesses. And this roster that was put together by Brian Cashman, and he knows what's up. So I have faith in Cashman. I'm going to table my concerns. You know, the deadline's over. It's time to look forward. Yes, I don't agree with it. Yes, I think that they could have figured something out. But at the end of the day, I'm not the GM. I'm not the one sitting there making trades and fielding offers from other teams. You know, Cashman's the only one who could really tell you about the offers that he did get from these other teams. So my advice to other Yankee fans is just keep rooting for the team. You know, through thick and thin, they're going to figure it out. And let's just hope that they have enough on the roster to help them compete when they face teams like Cleveland, like Minnesota, like the Red Sox, and especially the Astros come playoff time. Because the contenders are there. And let's see how this Yankee team matches up with them. Before we wrap up today's show, I just want to talk about a couple of things regarding prospects. And they're cool to have, and they're exciting to have, but ultimately, if your big league club needs help, they become expendable. And Brian Cashman has a couple of guys that he has grown to love throughout his organization. And one of them is Davey Garcia, 20-year-old right-hander. We saw him in the Futures game. The kid's got great stuff. And he's cruising throughout the minor leagues. He's in AAA now. There is even reports that he could help the Yankees sometime in September, which is absolutely crazy. But a lot of people said, you know, if you could get a starter, if you could get a guy like Madison Bumgarner, who I never thought the Giants were even going to trade, I think that they had to be absolutely blown away by an offer and completely out of the race, you should do it. Now, those people are going to say to themselves, if Garcia turns out to be a star, you know, good thing we didn't trade him. It was a smart move by Cashman. I think the Yankees know what this kid is capable of. I think they know that this kid's going to be something special. A lot of the times it doesn't translate, and I get that. It's a risk. It happens. But I think the Yankees are willing to take that risk. And if he could come up later in the year and even help this team in the bullpen, that's an asset for this team moving forward. I'm sure they have a spot in the rotation for him to fight for next year. I think that they think very highly of him. I think they want him to be around this team. I think that they envision him being around for a long time. So to quote-unquote hug prospects is something that, yeah, might be frowned upon, but ultimately might work out in the long haul. And prospects are your future. Do you mortgage your future to win now? Or do you hold on to what you got and kind of hope that you can get by and hope that you can win a World Series championship? I think a lot of the issue becomes that fans are getting impatient because the Yankees haven't won a World Series in such a long time. 2009 is a long time. So fans want to see this team win. We're passionate. We're in New York. We're in New Jersey. We love this team. When they lose, we lose. When they win, you best believe we're celebrating with them that they won. You know, it's just a love relationship. And yes, there's times where you get frustrated, and that's with every relationship. But the true fans are going to stick around and trust in the process, to quote Joel Embiid there. I got to give credit where credit's due. While we're talking about prospect hugging, the guy that I want to talk about is Clint Frazier. And I think it's an absolute tragedy that he's in the minor leagues right now. Luke Voit goes to the DL or IL with a sports hernia. You mean to tell me that Clint Frazier shouldn't be the guy taking everyday at-bats at DH or even just as an outfielder? Come on now. I get it. Frazier's a guy who speaks his mind. A guy who shows his character. There's quote-unquote character concerns about him. But the guy has proven that he could hit at the big league level. Please don't tell me that Tyler Wade or Breivik Valera is better than Frazier. Yes, Tauchman's playing better right now, but I think that if you're looking toward the future, Frazier's a much better player. If the Yankees are serious about trading him and are serious about looking at other options, why not have him up in the big leagues and showcase him? Show teams what he's capable of. They're hurting his trade value by stashing him in AAA, making it seem like he's not mature enough to be in the big leagues. That's on them. And like I mentioned earlier, I'm on Team Free Clint. We release shirts on Teespring, and I'll post a link on our social media accounts, so you can definitely buy one and join the movement. But I say, give the kid a chance. You know, if you have problems with how he acts, pull him aside and tell him this. Don't make excuses that he's down because of defense or this or that. Be frank with him. The kid's working. He's trying to get better. But some people mature slower than others. And New York's a different atmosphere. Give the kid a chance. That's all I'm asking. And I'm sure that you'll reap the benefits of it, especially given that Voit's now out. There's going to be at-bats at the big league level for guys to take. Let Frazier get some. And let's see what he can do. Because I think, quite frankly, he could be a definite benefit to this team down the stretch. And I hope that he gets that chance to do so. That's going to wrap up this special edition of the Pinstripe Talk podcast. A little bit longer than I anticipated, you know, because the trade deadline was packed with other moves. Not that the Yankees made any, only that one minor move. But there was a lot to talk about. Final thoughts. Yankee fans, stay patient. Yankee fans, stay loyal. Yankee fans, stay positive. There's a lot of baseball left to be played. Yes, Houston made a bunch of great moves today to get better. But the Yankees have a great roster. Let's not forget this. The Yankees have one of the best rosters in baseball. If they could get some of these guys back, they're on a good track. Let's not count them out. This is not the end of the world. Baseball is a weird game. It's a beautiful game. Things happen for a reason. And let's hope that at the end of the season, Cashman was right in not needing to address starting pitching, and the Yankees go on to win the World Series. And then he'll look like a genius. And then we still have our prospects that we could keep that we could talk about and hype up for their futures in the Bronx. But let's stay positive and let's back this team. Let's keep supporting this team because I still think that they have a good chance to compete in the American League and ultimately for a World Series title. You want to join in on our conversation? Hit us up on Twitter at PinstripeTalkND. My personal account, Nick_Delahanty. Hit us up on Facebook. Like the page, Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Send us some emails with your thoughts, PinstripeTalk@gmail.com. We have a Teespring store trying to raise some funds for our podcast. buy a shirt, help promote our show. The links are found on our social media accounts. Again, the show is available on all podcasting platforms, Apple being the priority. Subscribe, rate, and review the show. Send us some feedback on the show. You're not an Apple person? Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, you name it, our podcast is there for you. We hope that you take some time to join in on our conversation and listen in. We thank our loyal listeners for listening in, especially a special show. We will be back next Tuesday to talk about all the latest regarding the New York Yankees. Until then, this has been another episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty, and we'll catch you next time.